humility and hope. It's the way that the Lord comes to us. He comes to us by the way of humility. And what he brings to us, hope. John the Baptist, the last prophet of the Old Testament, the bridge between the old and the new, is crying out for us to prepare the way of the Lord, echoing the words of Isaiah, to prepare the way for the Lord. And the way of the Lord, that way, that path, is that first of all, he comes to us. That God, in his humility, lowers himself and becomes one of us. He who is the creator becomes part of his creation. How that doesn't fill me with greater wonder and awe, like at all times, is just, I don't know. Because you think of the things that I look out at and it fills you with just real wonder and awe. You know, like when you go skiing and you're on a ski lift and it's right toward the top and you can look out and see all the mountains and you see it for miles. It's just beautiful. Maybe you're going above the clouds. You get to see the peaks of the mountains and the sun is glistening. And what's the response of the human soul? Wonder and awe at the beauty of it, the grandeur of it. They're standing at the edge of the Grand Canyon and looking out where you can hardly see the bottom. It stretches for miles and miles. You see that, and what does that do to the human soul? It should fill it with wonder and awe. Or to step into Notre Dame Cathedral, and you see something centuries and centuries old, and you think this was built by human hands. And look at the intricacy and the beauty of it. And it fills you with just wonder and awe. But all those things, they're all parts of creation. And they should fill us with wonder and awe. But the thought and the truth that God, who has existed for all of eternity, who is the all-powerful, who created everything that is, God, who is so completely beyond us, has in his humility come to us, and he has become one of us. How I can pass by that thought with hardly any wonder and awe. The scene of a nativity. Oh, there's God as a baby. That's cute. You know, I'm like, what's the block that's there? Prepare the way of the Lord. And this is the Lord, him coming to us in his humility. And what's the block that keeps me from, I mean, almost at all times, filled with this wonder and awe and wanting to tell everyone, God's come to us. He's become one of us. But the block in the human soul is that the mountains of pride in me, or it's the depths and the valleys of just a sadness, a despair. And you can break that down. You know, the pride of like, oh, like God. It's not that big of a deal that he became one of us. Even though it's the difference between us and God is more significant than the difference between us and a mosquito. Us becoming a mosquito to save mosquitoes, it's one creation becoming another. God, who is the creator, becoming us. It's a complete divide. Or it's some sadness and despair with me. Like, why would God even bother to come? Or what does it matter anyway? But the wonder and awe of it. And then what's more is that our God comes to us, and he comes to us specifically in the wreck of our lives. He comes to us in the very mess of our lives. The light comes into the darkness, that while we were yet sinners, he has come to us. And this brings us hope. It brings us hope. Humility is the way the Lord comes to us, and what he brings to us is hope. And it's first of all what God has done in coming to us. But on our part, how do we prepare the way of the Lord to receive him? God has become like us. To prepare the way to receive the Lord is to become like him in humility. That it's not the moral perfect, morally perfect that God comes to, but it's the powerlessness. That it's the humility of recognizing the truth of where I'm at, and the humility to invite God into that place. But humility, the thing that becomes a block with that too, is believing the lie of the king of pride that goes back to the very beginning and the very original lie. The evil one wants us to think of humility as something that's completely unattractive. Humility, that when we think of it just as this sort of squishy weakness, as this thing that we want really nothing to do with. Not really. Instead of the truth of humility being and encapsulating the power of God, and that humility is the only pathway to God. God comes to us in humility, and it's only the humble who are able to receive him, because only the humble recognize him. Like knows like, it recognizes it. And God rejects the proud, but to the humble he gives grace. And the truth is that the beauty of humility, to think of the people that you know in your life who are truly humble, who embody that, how the way in which they live out true humility, it becomes a pathway to God for us. In the Advent season, the church, as she always does, holds up two things, two ways in which we're to grow in humility through prayer and the sacraments. The first is through prayer, of actually praying for humility. Or if we don't desire it, to pray even for the desire for humility. Which everyone, that's a really hard thing to do. Do you know why it's a hard thing to do? Because it's really unattractive, at least to the face value of it. To pray and say, Jesus, I have this hard decision coming up. I need discernment. Give me your wisdom. That seems very attractive, because then he gives us a context in which we're able to grow in wisdom and to know more the ways of God. Or, Jesus, I need purity of heart, and I need courage to face these trials in my life. And he gives us the context in which we're able to grow in courage and face temptation with bravery. But humility is different, and it's hard to pray for that. Why? Because to pray for humility is to also pray for the circumstances that will humiliate us. Or to pray for the ability to receive humiliations when they come. But what God is trying to give us in the midst of that is the grace of humility to be able to receive him. And then in the sacrament, especially in the sacrament of confession. Confession, everyone, is hard. And there's something about it in which it's meant to be hard. And why it's hard is because in the very act of it, it levels our pride. You think it's hard going to confession as a layperson. Think about going to confession as a priest, as you go to another priest. And you know, part of confession is that you come in and, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 3 months since my last confession, and I'm a wife and mother. You normally, you know, you're meant to state your state in life. But usually in the context of confession, especially with the sins that are there, it's easy to figure out. So the priest doesn't have to ask. But sometimes they do, to understand the context of the sins, that it's different if you're married or single and all that. But when you go to confession as a priest, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been da-da-da since my last confession, and I'm a Catholic priest. Going to confession is hard. But it's meant to be hard because what it does in that process is it levels the mountains of our pride. The root of all sin is pride. And the root of all holiness and all virtue, the root of all of it is humility. Any sin that you're struggling with, the root of it is pride. The solution to it, the root of that solution is humility. But he doesn't just level the mountains of our pride in confession. He also fills up the depths and the valleys of our despair and our sadness, because it's into that darkness that he brings his light and his life. And it's there that he brings hope. And that we receive and we prepare to receive the gift that he brings when Christmas comes, which is the gift of humility. It's the gift of hope and wonder and awe, which is the gift of himself.